Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your host of the show. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And on this week's episode, we are talking about the six things that you should definitely try when visiting the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Love this show. I'm excited to talk about it. One of the favorite reasons why I'm excited to talk about it is the official name of the park is Disney's Animal Kingdom, but I know the cast members affectionately call it the DAC. So, love it. Love that we're talking about Animal Kingdom. But, you know, maybe before we get into that, we start off with one of our new sponsors. This week's sponsor is the Blueberry Cream Cheese Mousse. So, we're being a little facetious here. We thought this might be fun, but the Blueberry Cream Cheese Mousse is a dessert found at Satouli Canteen. It is
You pronounced it right.
There we go. I'm hitting on all cylinders today. Yeah, it's a dessert found at Satouli Canteen. It's one of my favorite desserts on property. It's a small, probably about the size of maybe your fist or a little bit smaller.
I wish it were the size of a fist. It's probably half. Your fist is huge.
Yeah.
So it's probably about half the size of Dak's fist. Yeah.
And so just to kind of give you a little bit of a description here, it's got an outer creamy mousse shell. It's blue and yellow, and then it has a little marshmallow topping with a little side piece of white chocolate. It is wonderful, folks. If you're ever in Disney's Animal Kingdom in Pandora and you want to get yourself a wonderful dessert, give the Blueberry Mousse Cream a try.
You read that like they're an actual sponsor.
We hope you enjoy those. We're gonna start doing some
just little fun tidbits.
Some fun sponsorships, not so sponsorships, and hopefully you enjoy them.
Yeah. Well, hey, first of all, second of all, because first of all was Dex.
Non-sponsorship.
There. Second of all, hey, we've got a couple recent reviews. And like we've said in the past, if you leave us a review, we're going to do our best to read it on the show. And we have actually been asking for reviews. It helps the show grow. You know, giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, going over to Spotify to give us, you know, you can leave a rating. You can't leave a review. But either way, it helps the show grow. And we 100% appreciate these reviews that we get from you guys. And listen, we got two to read this week. So, and these are fantastic. So number one from Philada. Yeah.
Sorry if we're butchering.
Butchering them.
All right. You know who you are.
Yeah. And the podcast reads this. I'm sorry. The review reads, this podcast is a hidden gem. I really enjoy the host and their enthusiasm for Disney. It makes me even more excited for our upcoming trip. I'm backtracking and listening to all the episodes. Great content, guys.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
So much appreciated. I'm a little nervous about the backtracking part.
Yeah. Feel free to call us out on anything we missed or messed up. But
I would say the podcast has been a work in progress.
Yeah.
Definitely, I feel like we've maybe become a little more comfortable behind a microphone.
I would agree with that.
Not to toot our own horn. Not that our horn needs tooting, but maybe we're just a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
Though some of those first episodes were...
We were a little nervous.
A little nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the right way to put it. We're not as nervous anymore.
Yeah.
Not saying the content is even better, but we're just not as nervous.
Well, thank you. We hope it does hype you up for your trip, get you excited about it. Or if you're coming home from a trip and you got those Disney blues, we hope we bring you back to some of the magic.
Man, that's a good thing to do. It's like when you go to a... Like when you go on your trip and you come back, there is something called the Disney hangover.
Yeah.
You hate to be home. I feel sick. Like I get depressed. I get the blues.
Yeah.
Like you just want to go back. So I think what you just said now is if our podcast is able to help you maybe recover a little bit easier from a recent trip. Hey,
love it.
All right. So last review, this is from Zodiac John. That's a great name, by the way.
Yeah, Zodiac great John. Handle.
Yeah. an excellent Disney podcast for Disney fans of all types. The raspy voice this past episode put me over the top. Here's your 5-star review. So if you missed our last episode, Dak came to the recording. His voice was a little raspy.
Yeah, I had some allergies going on or something, and it was just messing with me. And so I had that deep, raspy voice going on there.
Yeah. Well, Zodiac John, we appreciate it. Don't stop listening just because Dak's voice is no longer raspy.
Right. That's right.
All right. So, hey, let's get into the 6 things about Animal Kingdom that you should definitely try. So we started this series with Epcot probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Actually was received really well. Got some good feedback on it. I think because we talk about some things that are often overlooked.
I agree. I think the natural tendency is you want to hit the big ticket items, which for good reason, and you should. But this list is more about like, hey, don't leave the park without doing these. And again, we talked about this about Epcot. Maybe this is not something you do every single time, but it's something you should work into your rotation if you are going to those parks and experiencing them again. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think, too, I probably need to offer maybe not an apology, but more of a, well, maybe it's an apology to Animal Kingdom. I've been kind of harsh on it the past few years. And I think based on the fact that when I would go to Animal Kingdom, it was never intended to be a full day experience. It was, I'm going over there to hit Flight of Passage. I'm going to hit Everest, maybe hit Kilimanjaro Safaris. Which is what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you have a park hopper. Let's say that you're like a 3-day trip and you got a park hopper. So you're not planning on spending a whole day at Animal Kingdom anyway. So you just want to hit those main attractions. And like in our experience, if Everest is down, if Flight of Passage is a 3-hour wait, like it can put a really salty taste in your mouth.
For sure. I think that's a common sentiment, right? Is if any park is going to get skipped or maybe half-dayed, it's going to be Animal Kingdom. Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Dak.
The Dak. Yeah. And so I think you're right. I think it's fair to say, hey, maybe explore some of these other options that we're going to talk about or find some that you enjoy. And see if it becomes a full day park for you.
Yeah.
I will say this. Prior to my Disneyland love that has come on in the last few years, Animal Kingdom was actually one of my favorite parks. Really? I just love the vibe there. I think it's very chill. I love having that as maybe a mid-trip park to go to where you can kind of go a little bit at a slower pace and kind of take your time through it. You don't have to rush through Animal Kingdom. Probably you shouldn't rush through Animal Kingdom because it's massive. So anyway.
All right. Here's a quick note on the episode. So Dak and I are sitting at a camp and we're in this cabin and one of the sides of the cabin is kind of open. There's like a dirt road underneath us, and that was a big truck that just drove by. I'm not sure if the microphone picked that up, but you may hear a few noises in the background. That's just because of where we're at. So, yeah, but anyway, sure. Maybe it's more like Animal Kingdom.
There you go. Safari. That's the safari truck.
That's the safari truck. That's what it is.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, so
these are in no particular order. We're not ranking these or anything. These are just
6 things that you should definitely try on your next trip. So number one, and you turned me onto this years ago. This is called the Winged Encounters, The Kingdom Takes Flight.
Yeah.
What is that, Dak?
So this is great. This is right in front of the Tree of Life, which is the main icon of Animal Kingdom. You walk in. If you get on your app, it'll tell you the schedule. It's not a firm schedule. And the reason why it's not a firm schedule is because what happens is they have these macaws that fly in. So they'll first start, you'll see people start to gather a little bit and there'll be a couple of cast members there. The dead giveaway is one of the cast member has kind of like a staff with a T-bar across the top of it. Anyway, so they'll come up right in front of the Tree of Life. Typically what will happen is one or two macaws will fly in and land on this staff and the cast members will give a little presentation about macaws and what they are and that they shouldn't be people's house pets and so forth. And they kind of give some, in a very Disney way, they give some education about animal conservation and the macaws in particular. And then you will see them coming in from a distance, but probably I would say 15 to 20.
A lot.
A lot of macaws come in. And these guys come in like dive bombers. I mean, they are flying what feels like inches over your head as they come in and take perch all around the tree of life and that rock area. And it is fabulous because you're going to get some of the best photos. If you have like a slow-mo on your phone,
absolutely.
I would highly recommend setting that to that setting. And the macaws hang out there for a little bit. They're loud. They're, you know, and again, the cast members are kind of talking about them. And then without any sort of prompting or a cue from the cast members, they just decide, okay, we're done here. And they all just take flight at the same time, typically. And it's breathtaking. I don't know how to describe it unless you get a chance to experience it, but it's just so amazing. And you hear like chatter through the crowd, right, as this is happening, that people are just amazed by this experience.
Man, that's a great explanation of what this attraction is. Well, I shouldn't say attraction, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's on the entertainment side of the My Disney Experience app. Right. I'm with you, man. It is a... the first time I saw it was with you, and you're right. I think had I put my hands up, I probably could have caught a bird.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I'm sure it would not have let me, you know, catch it.
Right.
But they fly that close.
Yeah, they are very, very close. Yeah. And you'll hear people oohing and aahing and ducking and diving from them. Yeah. It's a great experience. Like, you have to, again, maybe not every trip, but this is definitely one that the whole family will love. It's a great experience.
And on the My Disney Experience app, they do have some show times, but what Dak said is correct. You know, it's usually not going to go past probably mid-afternoon. You won't have any shows in the afternoon.
Right.
It's like morning time to early afternoon is when you're going to have most of your shows.
Yeah, and it's usually every hour or so, or maybe hour and a half. But what I mean is, like, if it says, oh, it's got a 10:30 start time, I mean, these birds are on their own schedule, and so, these macaws are on their own schedule.
Yeah.
And so it may actually have an actual start time of, you know, maybe 10:32 or something like that, but it's a must-see. And I would say, pro tip, get up. When you see that cast member starting to talk and present, man, get up there close, because they're coming in to the cast members, and so if you really want to get a great view of the birds and the experience, get up, you know, get up close and
I like it. I like it. That's a great experience.
Great one. Great one to start us off with today.
All right. Number two. So this encompasses a lot of different things. So I just have it as view the animals. So a lot of people say the animal kingdom is a zoo. I probably would disagree. It's not a zoo. There's no zoo smell. You walk into Animal Kingdom and it doesn't smell like a zoo. You go to the zoo in your local town, it smells like a zoo.
Yeah.
There's no smell at Animal Kingdom. I don't consider it a zoo, but they do have a lot of animals.
Yeah. And while they're enclosures, they're not like when, you know, you're old school, I picture a zoo in my mind. They're behind some sort of structure or something like that with... You know, I mean, a lot of zoos have gotten better about opening up and not having like the animals in jail cells, basically, right?
Yeah.
But these are beyond even what your local zoo is giving you. Like, these enclosures look like natural habitats to all of these animals.
And that's a good point, because I think it was on the Imagineering documentary on Disney Plus. I want to say it's episode 5 where they get into the design of Animal Kingdom. So, you know, talking about Joe Rohde, the legendary Imagineer who was tasked with designing Animal Kingdom, you know, how they brought in a lot of
Jane Goodall,
like a lot of biologists, a lot of zoologists to help design this park. And it was like really designed with animals at the forefront, right? How 100%. Can we make these animals safe and feel as comfortable, you know, in this kind of zoo-like atmosphere, but also make it entertaining to the guests who are showing up. They want to see the animals. And I bring this up because, again, oftentimes this gets skipped. Like, you walk into Animal Kingdom, and right there, before you even start to approach the Tree of Life, there is something called the Discovery Island Trails.
Yes, yeah.
Beautiful, tree-lined, water-lined, these trails that kind of split off into two, and then it goes maybe, I don't know, what, 100 yards on either side. And there's trees, there's waters, and there's these enclosures where they have these birds and animals that you can kind of look for. And a lot of times they just get skipped because you're so anxious to get to Flight of Passage or to get to Everest or to get to the Tree of Life and get your, you know, your picture taken, right?
Yeah.
But take a second and just enjoy like this natural looking habitat that they have designed at the very front of the park.
It's pretty amazing because they use a lot of natural prohibitors, I guess is the right word, way to say it, where you can't see it, but it looks like the animals are 10, 15 feet from you. I mean, yes, you're real close. What you don't see is they've put some barriers and some valleys, for lack of a better word, in place where there's no way that animal is getting to you or you're getting to it, but it creates, again, the optics that you're right there with them. And so it's a great experience.
It's so cool. So, yeah. So and coupled with that, you have, like, for example, the gibbons of Asia, which are the little bitty spider monkeys.
Yeah.
Right? Over there on your way to Everest. They're so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, usually they'll draw a crowd if they're out kind of goofing off and swinging from.
And howling,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The Maharaja. I tried to put an accent with that.
Yeah, it's
the Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Dude, phenomenal.
Yeah.
They got the baby tiger now, so that's a big hit on that. But just that whole trail, there's some fruit bats in there. I'm not crazy about bats, but you go into this little area.
Well, they eat mosquitoes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But these things are massive. They're like vampire bats. and then the gorilla trail is...
Gorilla Falls Trail?
Yes. Yeah. Have you, I don't know.
Again, it's been a while since I've done that.
I'm telling you, like, there's one part of it where you kind of come around the corner and you walk over this bridge, and then they have the silverback enclosure, and there's probably 3 to 4 different silverbacks in there. And we've gone, again, you're going to make some sacrifices because we've basically not rope dropped, but we've gone on the gorilla trail first thing in the morning, where they're letting them out for the first time. And the cast members are really good about creating enrichment activities for these gorillas and all the animals, where they have to go out and actually like scavenger for their food and look for it. And they've hidden it around their enclosures, but it's great watching. I mean, these silverbacks are just ginormous, and to watch them come out and just kind of act natural, and it's just a great experience.
It is. It is. Yeah. And again, I think because people are rope dropping to other parts of the park, early morning is going to be the best time to see these animals.
No, totally.
You know, because they are active, they're feeding, they're happy to be up. And, you know, I would say if you're going to make, I think this is one of those things that if you're going to make Animal Kingdom a full day park, really taking the time to walk these trails and to look at the animals.
For sure.
Absolutely helps in making that a full day park.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Number 3, Wildlife Express Train that takes you to Rafiki's Planet Watch and the animation experience. So the train, this is kind of in the back. It is in the back of the park. And it's like a 7-minute train ride through the back of Animal Kingdom. And they do have some exhibits as you travel on the train. It's one of those trains where you hop in and all the seats are facing to the side.
Yeah.
Like, you don't face forward, you face to the side. So you can see what's going on as you pass through some of those exhibits. Kind of see behind the scenes. You see some of the behind the scenes animal enclosures, but they do have some scenes set up as well.
Yeah.
That are pretty cool.
No, totally. It's great. I think the train ride itself, like you say, about 7 minutes, very entertaining if you're into seeing kind of the behind the scenes and letting Disney pull the curtain back a little bit. Best part is that it's taking you to Rafiki's Planet, right? Which we've talked about on the show before. Great little getaway if you're trying to maybe get away from a lot of the crowds and have some really good entertainment. One of the things that I think I love the most about Animal Kingdom is you really get to peel back the onion and see Disney's conservation interest, if you will, or commitment, maybe that's a better word, where they just, Disney is so committed to conservation and making sure that education is taking place. I think that's one of the things that I love the most about Animal Kingdom and going there is again, when you get to Rafiki's planet, you're not just going out there to a petting zoo or whatever. There's an actual live working veterinary animal clinic, and you can see live operations going on. It's pretty amazing. It's a great midday break for, you know, your family if you're into those sort of things.
Yeah, and here's what the Disney app says. So board the Wildlife Express train for a peaceful 7-minute, 1.2-mile journey to Rafiki's Planet Watch, an area dedicated to the preservation of and conservation of animals. So what you said.
Yeah.
Get a close-up look at the inner workings of Disney's Animal Kingdom Park and enjoy fascinating educational activities for all ages. Travel past animal housing and veterinary facilities for our resident rhinos, elephants, and more.
Yeah, love it.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It is one of those things that ends early. I think the last train was like 4:30.
Yeah.
So well before the park closes. But again, one of those experiences that you really probably could spend 30 to 45, maybe up to an hour.
Yeah.
With the train, getting out there to the petting zoo, and then experiencing just that area that you were talking about with the clinics and the you know, animation experience, stuff like that. Cool.
Great.
All right, number four. All right, so this may, I wouldn't say cause any controversy, but sometimes I think this is worth it. You wait in line at Expedition Everest.
Okay.
So now, if you're there to ride the roller coaster, go get in standby. Sorry, go get in single rider.
Yeah,
rider. That's what I meant to say. Because you can get on, usually if it's a 45 to an hour minute wait for standby, single rider is like 10 to 15 tops.
Yeah, that's, if your group can handle it, I would suggest single rider on Everest all day long.
Absolutely. But if you have to wait in line, I think the queue for Everest is one of the most immersive queues and the most well done, thought out queues in all of Disney World. It makes you almost feel like you are traveling up to Everest.
Yeah.
Like you've landed there at base camp and you were, you got your, what are the Sherpas? With you, and there's a lot of artifacts. There's they're like real artifacts.
They're real. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like the Imagineers actually go to Nepal. They actually bring back different artifacts, and that's what the queue is that you're seeing. These are not, you know, fabricated in some warehouse in Burbank, California, for the purpose of decorating the ride. These are actual artifacts. And if you pay attention, there's so many hidden gems and stories and background information that are true to that area. And I think this is where Disney, really shines. If you are looking for deep cut hidden details about the Yeti or about the area of Nepal, and this is all over the parks. This is not just limited to Expedition Everest. I think when you start to get into some of the behind the scenes information of the level of detail that the Imagineers go into to build the story, it's pretty amazing.
It is.
I mean, they're like, even if you look at the building structures and some of the things and the decorations that they put on the outside of the building before you even get into the queue, It's all, again, built around the story of the Yeti and getting you into that mindset.
Yeah. I love it. Again, if you're there for the coaster, may not be for you, but I would say every now and then just take some time and just walk through the queue.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. And this queue is where I have seen. Now, Animal Kingdom is a big park. It's in the middle of Central Florida. You would expect to see some other wildlife. I've seen two snakes.
Oh, nice. There
you go. Like two snakes that were not part of the exhibit, like just slithering in the queue line. Now, very small snakes, little garter snakes, nothing serious, but like, hey, they feel right at home in that part of the park. So
no, I think this is a good one. Again, you're going to get all the legends and all that stuff of Everest. And so great call on this one.
So I just read there are almost 8,000 artifacts.
It's amazing.
Brought like, from the Nepal trip. So yeah, they went to Nepal to do the research. Yeah. They brought 8,000 artifacts.
It's pretty crazy. And again,
that's like, so cool.
you know, we won't get into it, but there's just so many storylines and the legends of the Yeti that are built into the facade there and the building structure and the outside of the building and some of the decor that they use for that. It's pretty fascinating.
And this is also one of the few queues that have the interactive movie posters.
Yes, yeah.
On the
yeah.
wall, right? Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, so Expedition Everest, Rock and Roller Coaster, where else? Oh, the Disney fans are going to kill us. Yeah,
I know as you're exiting Small World, if you're wearing magic bands, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to say like, Dos Vidania.
Oh, really?
Jack.
So, they have these posters. So Expedition Everest and Rock and Roller Coaster, I know for sure. They have these posters where, you know, they're digital screens, but if you're wearing your magic band, every now and then it'll pick up who you are.
Yeah.
And it'll basically incorporate your name into
the story.
Yeah. Welcome.
It's great.
Ryan to Expedition Everest. And it's got this movie poster. It's really cool. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Number five. I know you're a big fan of this one. Harambe Village Street Band.
Oh, man. These guys are great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So this is as you're coming over the bridge, heading into Africa. You're right kind of at the crossroads of being able to go to the Lion King show, going forward more into Africa and the Kilimanjaro Safari, or turning the other direction and going on, you know, past the Tree of Life and into Asia. And they street perform right there. What's that restaurant called?
Tamu Tamu.
Tamu Tamu, yeah. Yep.
I don't know if it's an underrated part of the park, but it's like, if you look at, it's got Tamu Tamu, which we've talked about in the past. It's got the Dole Whips.
Excellent.
Tusker House Restaurant.
That's the one I was thinking
of. Yeah, is that you're thinking of?
Yeah.
The Harambe Fruit Market, the Kilimanjaro Safaris are right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great part of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun little snack shop there if you want some candies. Fun little souvenir shop there as well to get some cool, you know, Animal Kingdom themed souvenirs as well. It's a great little area, but these guys, so there's probably five of them or so.
I think it varies, four to six,
And one has a whistle, and he's just going to town on it. They're these African dancers, and I apologize that I don't know their official names, but they will draw a crowd with their enthusiasm and their energy that they bring to, you know, singing and dancing in front of the group. But then what they'll do is they'll start to pull in different, you know, people from the crowd and start getting them to interact and dance as a group as well. And that's where it really gets entertaining because, you know, I have fallen victim of their enthusiasm of pulling me into the dance off, if you will. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And it's a different culture. It's a different style of music that you don't hear a lot of in our country. I think it's just a good way to kind of appreciate what Animal Kingdom brings to the table, which is a lot of different cultures, a lot of different food and music and just beliefs into this place where we get to go say, oh yeah, I've never heard this before, let me sit down for a minute and listen. And it's amazing.
For sure. Tons of energy on this one. Tons of energy. Yeah, these guys are bringing it.
Like, you almost want to, like, let's go play some basketball. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Go try to dunk the ball at age 47, you know? So
these guys are great, though.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
A great one.
Yeah. All right. So number six, our last one. This one will not be a surprise. I think this is one of the most sought-after things to do. But again, you have to wait. You have to go at a time of year when Animal Kingdom is open past dark, which is to check out Pandora at night.
Yeah, so this is a must do. I would move this from this is a thing you should try to this is almost, you know, absolutely touching that must do line, because Pandora during the day is breathtaking. However, at night, if you haven't been there, they have this bioluminescent paint that's been splattered and painted all along the pathways. They have special lighting to illuminate this bioluminescent paint.
Yeah.
And then they just continue to layer it with other lighting that lights up certain areas that they want you to see, and the backlighting is phenomenal. They have the sounds, and they, you know, lace that into the storyline as well, where you're seeing all the lights, you're seeing all the colors, you're hearing all the sounds. It's just an amazing experience.
It is. And I feel like it used to be open more often at night. I'm looking at the app now, and we're in the dead of summer now.
Yeah.
And it's closing at 6:30. Like, it's not going to get dark until 8:30-ish.
Totally.
And I just don't know when they offer that late closing anymore.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that you have to, like, again, if you're lucky enough as you're planning your trip and you happen to see that, oh my gosh, Animal Kingdom is going to close at 9, you know, we talk about all the time, where do you want to end your day? Well,
yeah.
Happily Ever After, Magic Kingdom. You can go over to Epcot and watch their show. They have a pretty good show. Even
yeah.
Hollywood Studios has a good show. But man, if Animal Kingdom's open till 9 o'clock, I might sacrifice one of those nights and say I got to see Pandora at night.
No, totally.
Because it's such a beautiful experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those where, like I say, I don't know that I would pound my fist on the table and say you absolutely must experience this, but it's pretty close. I mean, it gives you a totally different perspective, and I would say the only other comparable is Magic Kingdom Main Street, right? Like, Main Street during the day is wonderful. Main Street at night is a whole nother level. I would say the same
yes.
thing about Pandora.
Yes.
Pandora at night is just a totally different experience, and one that you have to kind of take in to really appreciate how beautiful it is.
So the thought came to me, well, if you got a late dining reservation at that restaurant that's right
at Tusker House or
Tusker, what's the one that's right? Tiffin's, I believe it's
Tiffin's,
what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's right
so
there. At
it's
the
right
entrance.
There at the entrance of Pandora. If you were to get like a 6 o'clock, so on for example, if they close the park at 7, they probably have reservations up to 6:30. You get the 6:30 reservation, and you take your sweet time.
Yeah,
eating, because they're not going to kick you out. Then maybe you get out. It's 8:30. It's dark, and they let you kind of stroll back there, or they
yeah.
may have it closed off. I don't know, but. If just yeah, any way you can find to check it out. So
no, totally, I agree. That's probably your best shot at being able to see it, but absolutely worth doing.
Well, hey, those are our six things that we think you should definitely try on your next trip to Animal Kingdom or to DAC.
That's right. Yeah, listen, we'd love to hear from you. We love the feedback, especially. The reviews as you listen to these episodes.
It really means a lot to us to read those reviews.
Yeah, and we would love to hear your, you know, must-tries or gotta-dos when it comes to the Animal Kingdom. Is there something we missed? Something that you want to add to our
stuff.
List or to that's on your list, one of those things you love doing?
Yeah, I agree.
I would say one of my bonus ones is... walk the trails around the Tree of Life. So you can see the Tree of Life very well from a lot of parts in the park. However, there are little trails that run right up next to the tree that allow you to see some of the details of the tree and the carvings.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So that would maybe be my bonus.
Okay.
But other than that.
Well, here's a second bonus. Search for Divine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Should we just leave it at that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little mystery there.
Do some research. Figure out who Divine is. That's your clue. It's a character. And now you need to search and see if you can find her.
Yep.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, thanks, guys. Hey, we appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, again, we appreciate those reviews. Keep them coming. We hope that you enjoy the show. We're doing our best, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're over on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Head over there, give us a like and a follow, and connect with us.
Yeah. Hey, go have a wild day at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
There you go. Until next week.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.